Welcome to College Street Victory Church. You're listening to the weekly podcast with Pastor Matt Funk.
So this is a very special service. I told you if you were in the last service, this one's going to be a little bit different. I've entitled it 4x4 Generosity. Yeah, if you don't like 4x4s, please still stay with me. It's going to be great. It's going to turn to someone and say, it's not going to be good. It's going to be great. All right? This isn't going to be good. This is going to be great. So we're in part 4 of the great giveaway. John 3:16 says, for God so loved you that he gave. And we are to be like him. And what a ride it's been already, eh? What a ride. From the head to toe campaign covering the streets of Chilliwack with toques and scarves, right? To believing God now for 500 kids to have Christmas this year like they've never had before. You guys have shown such generosity and what it looks like when expectation and generosity collide, right? Man. And today I want to talk about what I call 4x4 generosity. The kind that gets you out of the ruts. Come on. The kind that gets you through the mud. And the kind that gets you onto higher ground. You like that, Angie? That's just for you. We started a 4x4 Connect group called Higher Ground, so I'm just putting a plug in there for you, yeah. And by the way, if you're showing up for the first time here today and you're part of the 4x4 convoy that's doing the toy run, God bless you. Thank you, Chilliwack 4x4 Association, for showing your support and being here today. And we're having fun. So if you're wondering why all the 4x4 trucks, and you're going to see a lot more of them, are covered in lights, it's for the kids. That's what we say for the kids. So the thing, you know, the thing in life and in especially the series I want to challenge you on is it's going to require shifting gears, okay? Let's be honest. Many of us have been grinding gears. We've been running on low fuel and we haven't taken the time to do the maintenance that we need and not just maintain, okay, but go a little further, right? Here's the truth. Generosity is not about what you have. It's about what you do with what you have. And there's no bigger picture than in the book, the Bible, in the book of John chapter 6. So if you brought your Bibles with you, even if it's on your phone, can you just hold them up right now so I know you're following along with me? Right on. I think the team might even put some of the notes on the screen. Oh, look at that. Technology, scan that and it'll go right to an opportunity to give towards my 4x4. I want a bigger lift. And so, no, I'm kidding. That's, well, you'll find out. Maybe, I don't know. You tell me. I got a 6-inch. I'd like to go up on another level. So glory to God. All right. John chapter 6. And I always need a little bit of help with this. It's always fun to just randomly pick people out of the crowd to join me in the reading of the Word of God today. But you know what? I'm going to pick on Rick. I'm going to ask Coach Rick to come up. Oh man, you might hate me if I do this, so I got to be careful who I do this with. I want to create friends, not enemies. But let's get Coach Rick up. Actually, I'll put it on Rick. Coach Rick, can you pick one more guy to come up to read the Word of God? Okay. Yeah, awesome. Shawnee boy, let's go. Christmas Carol, right? Isn't that your call sign?
Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Come in, Christmas Carol. One more. It's the guy that gets me out of the rut. No, you guys can handle it. Do you feel like one more? Maybe one of the guys from the Joshua House. That'd be cool. Do you want to welcome one of the guys from the Joshua House that wants to? Is there any guys stirring in you? Come on, guys. We read all the time. We go to the house. Are you guys feeling it? One of the leaders? No? I'm gonna give you like the count of three. Then I'll call somebody else up. Yeah, any one of you guys can come up. Come on, bring it down. Yeah, we got one of the guys.
Come on.
Awesome.
All right.
Let's give him a hand. Okay, this is what we'll do. We'll make it, it's simple math. 15 verses, 5 verses for each one of you guys. We're going to read, obviously, out of John chapter 6.
Okay.
So, Trick, why don't you start verses 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15. You guys good with that?
Sure. All right. Verse 1.
Where's one? The one marked one, bro. This actually starts over here. There you go.
All right. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do.
Let's go.
Six pass.
Glasses are home, bear with me. Where am I? My glasses are at home. No, we're good.
You want his hearing aids?
You're supposed to tell everybody that.
Hey, pay attention.
He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. 11 pass.
I as well wish I brought my glasses. Bear with me. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, but about 5,000 of them. Jesus and then took the loaves, gave thanks and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 buckets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Yeah.
Thank you. Perfect. All right, let's give it up for the Word of God. Don't go far, man.
I'm raising up teachers. What stood out to you? Is there anything that stood out to you in the scripture we just read?
Have faith.
That's good. What else? Christmas Carol? Get anything?
You know, you can just have so much with so little. You can have so much with so little, you know?
Well, Jesus had everybody sit down first, and so that is a position of rest. He wanted everybody to be in rest to get ready for what was next.
Let's go! All right, you guys can be seated. Man, it's fun doing it this way, right? We didn't plan this.
You know, the Word of God is just alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it does. Doesn't it come alive to you? Have you ever done that where you've opened up the Bible and just start reading, and you're like, "God, you wrote this for me!" He did. He wrote it for you. It is as relevant today as it was then, and it's as applicable too. So, what a moment. So, the disciples, they see a problem, yet Jesus sees an opportunity, right? The disciples, what do they see? They see the cost. But Jesus sees the call. The disciples, they saw scarcity. Jesus sees a seed, something that can be sown. And the whole miracle hinges on one boy's willingness to give what's in his hands. Come on. Verse 3, we just read it, says, Jesus went up the mountainside and he sat down. That was good, Rick. He sat down with his disciples. So, ready? First gear. Getting to where I can see. All right? It's worth writing down. When I'm in my 4x4 truck, which I know I talk about a lot lately, I got it for my 20th anniversary, okay? So, it might not look like much. Some people might even think it looks cute, you know, a little 1989 Toyota pickup truck, but it's jacked up. It acts like a big boy truck, you know? Got big wheels on it, and it does big boy things. But you know, when I'm taking it up the mountain, I'm taking up a steep hill, I always got to start in first gear. And you know what moving slowly does? It allows me to see the path ahead. Because one small turn in the wrong direction up any one of these mountains can be the difference between either getting around the corner or going over the corner down, you know, the mountainside. So, and I also notice this, I notice more when I move slowly through the trees, right? Life works the same ways. The slow climb allows us to see the crowd, to see the opportunities and the needs of others around us. You see, people underestimate the slow climb. But once you reach the top, past the trees, you start to see clearly. Am I speaking to anyone today? Yeah. But you know what? Getting there, it takes trust and it takes traction. That's why the disciples followed Jesus up the mountain, not the other way around. Who is leading you slowly up the trail of truth so that you can trust Jesus and you can see what he wants you to see? There's a scripture in Isaiah 55 that says this. The Lord says, my ways are not your ways. They're higher. Isn't that great? Could it just possibly be that I'm not at the level of where God wants me to be when it comes to my perspective? Because my ways are not his ways. Neither are my thoughts his thoughts. And I think we can all admit that our thoughts aren't always higher, are they? Jesus went up the mountainside with his disciples to get away from the crowd. To get away from the crowd, but to get a higher perspective. Okay? They all saw the people. Could they see their calling? You see, Jesus saw beyond the crowd. He saw the child. He sees you. And even though that crowd came unprepared, Jesus did not blame them. Hey guys, come on, get it together. 5,000 of you, nobody came prepared? Just a little child? No, he didn't do that. He didn't belittle them. He saw an opportunity to sow faith, to teach generosity, and to show them that little is much when God is in it. He showed them that God makes a way when it seems like there is no way. Really, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. You see, he does something that is quite significant that we read in the scripture, and you can see how thankfulness always leads to abundance. You know, the miracle was already in motion. He didn't ask God. He thanked God, and then he blessed others. Generosity begins not with our wallets, but with our eyes wide open. In our church, somebody saw people living on the streets and said, hey, we can help. Somebody saw kids in our community. Come on, he wanted you to hear this one. And said, let's make sure they have Christmas. Somebody saw the need for the community to have warmth. And someone said, let's be the official warming spot for the Christmas parade. I mean, how cool is that? Verse 9. Here is a boy with 5 small loaves, 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Second gear. What do I have to give? What do I have to give? See, Andrew, one of Jesus' followers, noticed the boy in the crowd. The boy brought a lunch that looked like nothing. Again, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. But you know what? Jesus does not ask, is it enough? He asks us, is it available? Come on, church. He's not asking you, is that enough? No, no, no. With God, it is more than enough. He's in the business of multiplication. He says, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can tell that mountain where to go. But God will not, cannot multiply what we refuse to release. Whether it be our time, our talent, or our treasure, or our lunch. Coach James spoke this morning. He says, I don't know if I'd even give my lunch up for Jesus. I like my food. But he would. He would. He would. You know, what we have may at times feel very small. It may feel insignificant, even look insignificant at times, but in Jesus's hands, small things become extraordinary stories. That cool? And this is where our faith shifts gear. First gear, remember, seeing the need. Second gear, giving what I have. It's when we stop focusing on what is missing and start using what's already in our hands. That's how we covered the homeless with warmth. That's how we're gonna bless 500 kids this Christmas. That's how the 4x4 toy run is going to change families today. God doesn't need what you don't have, okay? He wants what you do have. And before he can get it from your hand, he's after what's in your heart. Isn't that right, Graham?
Yeah.
And when we release it, even when it seems too small, he multiplies beyond what we could imagine. Shifting into second gear requires trust. Told you. And it requires traction. It's easy to stay in first gear and just notice the need and at times feeling overwhelmed. But moving forward, offering what you have sets the miracle in motion. The boy didn't have much but his lunch, but that lunch changed over 5,000 lives that day. Again, faith isn't measured by how much you have. It's measured by what you're willing to put in the hands of Jesus. Come on. All right, let's go to verse 11. I mentioned this. It says, Jesus then took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. That's what my Bible said. As much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces and the leftovers, let nothing be wasted. God never wastes an opportunity. I said in the last service, I said, you know, God uses our scraps. And he can take even our scraps and do something significant, right? He sees, you know, even after it seemed like the miracle is done, he says, it's not over yet. Let nothing be wasted. I wonder what time and energy and treasures that we've been wasting. That we say, that scrap, nobody could use that. That's worthless. I think there's some people out there that feel that way about their lives. But you're not worthless. You were made in the very image of God. You're not scrap. You're not leftovers. You're his best. And he gave his best for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. You ready for third gear? Move into the miracle. Move into the miracle. You know, after reaching the top and enjoying the view, the next step is coming down to meet the people where they are. Meet them where they're at. Generosity isn't just about seeing from a distance. or just giving what's in your hand. It's about rolling up your sleeves, and it's about serving. You know, just like driving down a steep hill, you shift into that lower gear to maintain control. Why do you do that? Why do you shift into the low gear? You're saving your brakes. It helps you navigate the pathway safely. Serving others requires the same care. Slow down. You step into their world and you meet them at the level that they're at. The disciples, again, Lord, I'm awake. Woo! The disciples modeled this perfectly, okay? They didn't just watch the miracle happen. They carried the baskets. They passed out the bread and they stepped into the moment. They served the people, distributing what they had. And in doing so, guess what? They became part of the miracle itself. Isn't that cool? This is what happens when we give in action. Generosity lifts you to a higher level. Even as you come down to serve, you rise above. You rise above selfishness. You rise above scarcity. You rise above fear. You gain traction again. You regain purpose. You see vision again. Some of you feel stuck. I get it. You might feel stuck in your finances, stuck in your emotions, maybe even stuck in your faith. Sometimes the only way out of the mud is forward in service. You don't back out of a rut. You shift into low gear. You put your hands to work and you push through. Lord Jesus, fix this sound. I think the Lord just wants you all awake to this message. Nobody's falling asleep today. You push through. Someone say, push through. You push through. That's what generosity does. It moves you forward when the path feels heavy. Again, John 3:16, for God so loved you that he gave. He gave his son. He gave his life. He gave his all. And we don't give to earn love. We give because we already have it. Right, James? Church, let's be that boy with the lunch. Let's be the disciples with the baskets. Let's come down the mountain to serve and meet people where they are and step into the miracle. Maybe this week, buy a toy for a child in need. Sponsor a family. Serve at the Christmas parade warming station. Join the 4x4 toy run. Give your time, give your talent, give your treasure to what God is doing. Would you stand with me, church? This is our takeaway. Start in first gear is to see the need. Second gear, give what you have. And third gear, say it with me, move into the mirror. Say it with me, move into. Oh, come on, church. One more time like you mean it. Move into the miracle. Ah, I love it. I feel it now. Now I'm starting to believe it. You know, the truth is miracles are in motion. We've seen miracle after miracle. You know, scripture tells us the signs and wonders will follow those that believe. You know what? James and I were just at the Joshua house. We saw a lot of miracles and motions, didn't we, guys? It was awesome. You know, we saw shoulders healed, backs healed, you know. We've seen all kinds of cool things where God is at work, but we need to step up. We can't just stay stuck. Stuck in what isn't working. We got to have enough faith to step out of what's familiar and step into what is foreign, right? I mean, you just might have to shift one gear. Maybe for you, it's just shifting into that first gear. Maybe you've been going in sixth gear and you need to slow down a little bit this season. Come on. You need to be like Jesus. You need to walk slow through the crowd. You need to be in the moment, be fully in the moment, fully present, and not miss what the beautiful things that are happening all around you. And maybe for some of you, you see the crowd, you see the need, But it's time to shift into the next gear and come down the mountain. Meet people at the level of where they're at. You know, don't miss out on your miracle. Don't miss out on being part of a miracle. You know, sometimes it's that simple step of faith. When someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm struggling with this. I'm stuck here. I just say, hey, can I pray for you right now? Because I know that's not God's will. Because he taught his disciples how to pray. And even if the schools, many of the schools have taken the Lord's Prayer out, it's still in here. We can open it up anytime and read it out loud in Matthew 6. And it says this, our Father who art in heaven, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Just stop there for a moment. What? That's God's will. Don't let religion, don't let any false doctrine get you out of the picture. You want to know God's will? Read it and act upon it. He says that you are my hands and feet. Just as you do to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. I said, lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I said, when two or more are gathered together, whatever they agree upon shall be done. On earth as it is in heaven. That's his will. In heaven, there's no sickness, there's no disease. Heck, there ain't no poverty in heaven, I'll tell you that. There's nobody going without. We are the hands and feet. Sometimes though, it seems like such a simple act just to pray, but there's power. When you pray God's word over somebody, there's power. There's power in the house of the Lord. So I want to pray for you right now. I want to pray with you right now. The best prayer that we could pray together is first, just let Jesus in. Let go and let God. It's the best exchange that you could ever do. Giving up your mess for a greater message, for a greater, giving up your pain for purpose. That's what Jesus came to do. You see, even when he was breaking the bread and he was distributing it, he saw the future. He saw one day those 12 apostles that he'd be sitting at a table before he'd go to the cross and he'd break the bread and he'd say, this is my body broken for you. And he'd take the cup and he said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you. But you know what? It says because of the joy set before him, he was able to endure the cross. He didn't just see the crowd, he saw you. You were that joy when he was on the cross and they did those horrible things to him. When he took on all the messed up things that we would ever do, all the sin in our life, the horrible things that we regret, the things that we neglected to do, the doubt, the fear, all of that. And he said, it is, you know what? It was you. You were the joy set before him that he could endure what he had to endure. And on the third day, he rose from the grave, overcoming sin and death. And Paul said in Romans 10, verse 9, if we believe this in our hearts and confessing with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, that we will be saved. We believe that God the Father raised his son from the grave, that we will be saved. We don't have to have it all together. None of us do. For scripture says we've all sinned and we all fall short. And while we were still sinners, thank God, he died for us. So if you're ready to let go and let God, I want to lead you through this prayer right here, right now. This is the first step. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. I'm going to ask that everyone would pray this prayer with me, whether you prayed it before or you're praying it for the first time ever. You just repeat this after me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready to get out of the rut. I know what it's like to mess up. I know what it's like to sin. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. Say, I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my ways and I turn to you. I choose now to follow you all the days of my life. I let go of everything holding me down and holding me back. Thank you that my past is past and that today's a new day with you right here, right now, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning in today, and thank you for continuing to partner with us and for giving so generously to this ministry. If you would like to find out more about how you can partner with us, visit our website at www.wherepeoplematter.church and click the giving link. And don't forget to subscribe and share this with your friends. See you next time.